Sure. You go back in the nursery for choir. They'd appreciate that. Three of those are Weber's and three of those are Carpenter kids. They're all related. This can be interesting sometimes back there. But anyway, they would appreciate you doing that. Joshua chapter 6, when you find it, I'd like to read the last two-thirds of the chapter. We read it all. Well, we didn't read it all, but we read the first 14 verses 2 weeks ago. Then we were interrupted in this message during our mission conference. So I want to finish this message that I started last 2 weeks ago tonight. This morning, rather. Now, I will review a little bit of what we gave you 2 weeks ago, and then we'll finish this chapter. So stand with me, please. I think I'm going to start reading in verse 6, only because to re-familiar with this particular story. Joshua chapter 6, then in verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp, and so they did 6 days. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. You'll see that happen in chapter 7, by the way. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye have sware unto her. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua adjourned them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Well, Father, as we can finish a message, I pray that you would add your richest blessings to it. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will work in people's hearts. We pray you'll save the lost. You'll strengthen the believer. Those that have known habitual sin will all be convicted. And God, that you would help us to see the principles and the truths that are in this text today. We give this time into your hand. Get the clutter out of our minds. Help us to focus on the Word of God in the teaching and preaching of it, in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I started this sermon 2 weeks ago when the conquest began for Israel as they began to enter into the Canaan land. So let me review just a little bit about what I said 2 weeks ago, and then I'll get into some new stuff. John, how do you say his last name? Chrysostom, I think. He was around the year 400 AD. He said this. You are a poor soldier of Christ if you think you can overcome without fighting and suppose that you can have the crown without the conflict. He's right on. Our Christian life involves challenge and conflict. And whether we like it or not, that is part of the Christian life. A conflict and a challenge. You see, our enemies wage war against us and they try to keep us from claiming our inheritance in Christ Jesus. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they're united together against Christ and against his people, just as the nations of Canaan were united against Joshua and the Jewish nations. And so there was a battle. This is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war waging against sin. Our weapons, we said 2 weeks ago, are not carnal, but our weapons are spiritual. And in God's army, we said, we are not neutral. You're either going forward or you're going backwards, but you're not neutral. Israel's victory over Jericho gives us three principles of conflict. I mentioned one 2 weeks ago. I'll mention it again. I'll review a little bit of it, and then I'll give you the last two today. And these principles of spiritual conflict are good for us regardless of the matter, the conflict, rather, in which we face. The first one I gave you last week was this. So we're going to go before the battle, in the battle, and after the battle. The first principle was this. Before the challenge, I want you to remember this. Remember that you fight from victory, not for victory. You see, we stand in a position of guaranteed victory because Jesus Christ has already defeated every spiritual enemy that there is. You need to remember that. Now, in this battle, you need to consider the factors that are involved in this battle. Number one was in verse 1 of chapter 6, the fear of the Lord. Remember the fear of the Lord. Secondly, he talked about in verse 2, the promise of the Lord. God gave a promise. Thirdly, and I'm just looking at some highlights here, in verses 3 through 5, you have the instruction of the Lord. This plan to defeat Jericho, this was God's plan. This wasn't anybody else's plan. Nobody would have come up with a plan quite like this one. So this is obviously God's plan. This was God's strategy. Now, when we come to verse 5, we find God's promise. Let me read that verse. We didn't read it. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. That was God's promise. If you work my plan, my way, I will see to it that you have victory. Now, because of that, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. The Lord has already won the battle. Then I close with a couple of statements, and then I'll get to my next point. Did you know, I hope you figured this out, living by biblical principles works. And you see, when people live by them, and if you try this, you'd be surprised. But when people live by biblical principles, things in life have a way to work out. They just do. When we are obedient to the principles of God's Word, things in life work. Now, you fight from victory because Christ has already given us the victory. You don't fight for victory. Now let's get into some new thoughts. So this is before. Now, during the challenge. Now you're in the challenge. During the challenge, let's see if you can figure this out. You overcome the enemy by faith. You overcome the enemy by faith. That's verses 6 through 16 and verse 20. Hebrews 11:30, the Bible says this, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. It was a victory of faith. During the challenge, you overcome the enemy by faith. After they were compassed about 7 days. John 5:4 says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's a victory of faith. Now this had to be done just like God said it. Now listen, when we accept God's plan and do things God's way, we invite God's presence and it guarantees the victory. It guarantees the victory. Joshua got his orders directly from God. The crossing of the Jordan River was a miracle that God wrought. And so is going to be the conquest of Jericho. That's going to be a miracle of faith. They're going to do it just the way God said to do it. They listened to God's orders. Hey, we have God's orders. We should listen to God's orders. I mean, we've got them. We've got God's orders. They believed them. You ought to believe them. They obeyed them. And you know what? God did the rest. You listen to God. You believe God. You obey God. And God does the rest. That's a wonderful plan, man. When God's people, and Israel did this over and over, when God's people rebel against spiritual leadership, as Israel had done in the wilderness, it leads to discipline and it leads to defeat. Now, the activities of the week here in Joshua were a test of Jewish people's faith and patience. I'm not always the most patient person in the world. God does not operate on my timetable. I'm not always happy with that, if you want to know the truth, all right? And I suppose I'm not the only one that feels that same way. Some people could have thought this with this particular week. Let's just invade. Man, we just crossed the Jericho River. These people are afraid of us. They've watched what our God can do. They know how powerful our God is. Let's just invade them. Nope, we're not going to do that. Other people may have got what Joshua gave them as the military strategy to take Jericho, and it may have seemed like, this is a waste of my time. We're going to do this for a week. We're going to march around the city for a week. What is up with this? And we can't even talk. Listen, a besetting sin of Israel was impatience with God. And God is helping them learn, and you need to learn this, patient obedience. It is through faith and patience that God's people inherit what He has promised them. Read Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. The silence, He said, walk around and be silent, don't talk. The silence was a test of self-control. Have you thought about how hard it might have been? I figure it's about 8 acres. You know how hard it would have been to walk around that city? For some of us, including me, it would have been like impossible to walk around there and not talk. I wouldn't have made one day. I wouldn't have made 100 yards, if you want to know the truth. But they were to do that. It was a test of self-control. How those inside Jericho felt as the Jews were walking around, I have no idea. But once the blast of the trumpets came and the victory shout of the people came, the walls fell down flat. And the soldiers had to, all they had to do was rush in and take over the city. Now, the fall of Jericho is an encouragement to God's people to trust the Lord's promises and to obey His instructions, no matter how impossible the situation may appear to be. You still overcome the enemy by faith. You still trust God. You still live by sight. Wrong. You still live by faith and not by sight. You still do that. Now, listen, in our everyday lives, we face enemies. When we preach on David and Goliath, we say, you'll face giants in your life. When we preach on the walls of Jericho, we just change that a little bit. You will face high walls in your life. And you overcome the enemy by faith. In our everyday lives, we face these high walls. They challenge us. And the only way to grow in faith is to accept these new challenges and trust God to give you the victory. So during the challenge, you live by faith. You keep being obedient. You keep practicing patient obedience. And you wait on God. And you do right, and you do right, and you do right, and you just keep doing right. The third principle is this. So before, we live from victory, we fight from victory, not for victory. During, we live by faith. And thirdly, after the victory, you need to remember to obey God's commands and give Him the glory. And you better remember to do that. Listen, we are to be as watchful after the victory as we were before the battle. Because, and I've said this a million times in here, but I'm going to say it again this morning. After a victory, expect a battle. After a victory, expect another attack. One of the soldiers won't heed the warning. That's the next chapter, and it'll be chaos. Joshua gave the soldiers four instructions to obey after they had taken the city. I want to read some of those again, verse 17. The first one was dedicate the entire city to God. Verse 17 through 19, and it says, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. And you can read the rest of the chapter. They were to dedicate, the rest of the verses there, dedicate the entire city to God. Everything had to be dedicated to the Lord. The people, the houses, the animals, and then when they are, God has a right to do with them as He sees fit, as He pleases to do. I was done making visits yesterday morning, and on my way home, I was listening to a sermon by somebody, and they were preaching a little bit there, and they said, "This I found this quite humorous, quite honestly. He said, I don't own my house, God owns my house. I don't own my car, God owns my car. That's why if somebody wants to use it, I don't really have a problem letting them use it. And then he had another guy, he said, their house burnt down. And the guy didn't even seem bothered at all that his house burnt down. He said, that's not my house that burnt down. That's God's house that burnt down. And quite frankly, that's one less thing I have to be responsible for. So it really doesn't bother me that my house or God's house burnt down. That's a wonderful way to look at something, you know it? I thought, man, I probably wouldn't have looked at that way. But what an attitude. You are to dedicate everything to God. This will be the command that Achan in chapter 7 will disobey. Hey, beloved, we're to dedicate everything to God too. We're to dedicate our home, our family, our children. We just heard a missions conference, and you'll hear more about Faith Promise missions here over the next few weeks. But we're to dedicate our wallets. And we heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. Surrender, 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 surrender. You have got to dedicate everything to God. That was the first instruction. The second instruction was rescue Rahab and her family. That was verses 22 and 23 and verses 25 and 26. Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, and so ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all the kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. The second instruction, rescue Rahab and her family. Now, evidently, when the walls of Jericho fell down, her section didn't fall down? Stayed up? How come her section stayed up? Her faith. She had faith. Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, this is an unbelievable lesson on salvation here. Originally, her family was outside the camp. And then once they were circumcised, they were considered to be the sons of the covenant. The Bible tells us in John 1 that as many as receive Him, referring to Christ, to them gives He the power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Can you imagine the grace of God? What grace that God spared Rahab and her family And what abundant grace that he even called her an outcast Gentile, a harlot, to be an ancestor to the Savior. I mean, that's grace, man. One day God's judgment will come. It'll come to this world. I'll say more about that shortly. God gives the lost plenty of opportunities to believe. Quite frankly, you might be here this morning. And God has given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And yet you have not done that. You're lost. That's a Bible word, you know, lost in trespasses and sins. You're lost. You're outside the family of God. And unfortunately, lost sinners, they willingly reject all the evidence. Rahab saw what God had done. She'd heard about what God had done. All of those in Jericho saw the Jordan River open up. They knew that Israel had crossed over on the other side. They knew all about what God was doing. Listen, don't let that be you. Don't you be the person here today that walks out of here and never receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. Don't let it be you be the person who's heard and said, no, thank you, and walk away. Because God's Word says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The third command is in verse 21. Now, some of you are going to have a rough time with this. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. That was their third instruction. Destroy the people. Now, that command is troubling to some people. Quite frankly, that's tough. Isn't God a God of mercy, Pastor? Yes, He is a God of mercy. But God is a God of justice. And God is a God of holiness. So He said, destroy them all. I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy. It's the very next book just before Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 20. This is not a new commandment to destroy all the people. In God's divine law of war, which is in Deuteronomy chapter 20, the Lord made a distinction between attacking cities that were afar off, verse 10. He said, when thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. If it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it, and when the Lord hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. That's even hard for some. Every male. Every one of them. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. Now, what are those principles? Those are principles of cities that are afar off. You go to them and you try to make peace with them. If they make peace with you, fine. If they don't make peace with you, kill all the males. That's the cities that are afar off. That does not refer to the people of Canaan. All right? That comes in a moment. The cities in the land of Canaan where Israel would dwell, verse 16. But are the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance. So this is Canaan land. Thou shalt save alive, and I didn't write this, what's it say? Nothing that breathes. Don't get mad at me. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely, and he begins to name all the Ite brothers, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. This is the reason why. That they teach you not to do after their abominations which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. Now the people of these cities in Canaan are to be destroyed completely. And the cities are to be burned. Preacher, that sounds awful rough. I agree with you. It does. Nonetheless, it's still God's command. to the Jewish nation as they were going in to take the Canaan land. Why? Why so rough? Why so severe? I mean, man, woman, child, cow, sheep, you name it. Why so rough? Well, first of all, the people were unspeakably wicked. They were unspeakably wicked, wicked, wicked people. God did not want his people contaminated with their sin. You might as well learn this. God hates sin. God is not a fan of sin. You know how sometimes when people do things, we laugh and go, oh, you know, boys will be boys. God doesn't look at sin and say, you know, boys will be boys. God takes sin seriously. And you ought to take sin seriously. And I ought to take sin seriously. God put Israel, the nation of Israel, to be a channel of blessing. Genesis chapter 12, when God first made the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham, he said, thou shalt be a blessing. And those that bless thee, I'll bless. And those that curse thee, I'll curse. Satan has tried over and over to pollute that. I want you to remember something. You know who gave us the Bible? The Jews. Do you know where the Savior came from? The Jews. G. Campbell Morgan said, God is perpetually at war with sin, which is the whole explanation of the extermination of the Canaanites. God hates sin. Now, have you thought about this? If Israel had maintained true to the Lord, those of you that know your Bible, did you know the book of Judges would not even be necessary? But they didn't stay true to God. And thus you read one disaster after the next disaster after the next disaster as you read the book of Judges. Now here's something else that you need to consider. These people, the Canaanites, were given many opportunities to repent and to turn to the Lord. Just like Rahab, and just like her family had done. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't repent. And they didn't turn to the Lord. And they were given opportunity after opportunity, and they for hundreds of years had the same opportunity. They saw God move. They willfully sent, you could say they willfully sinned against the flood of light. God gave them more light than they needed. And yet they chose to turn away. Now listen to what else Mr. Morgan said. Thank God that he will not make peace with sin in my heart. Say, boy, when I sin, man, God, the Holy Spirit of God gets all over me and I feel awful and I feel bad. Thank God for that. You ought to feel that way. You know why you ought to feel that way? Because God hates sin. And you ought to hate sin. And it ought to grieve you that when you sin in your own life, it ought to really bother you. He goes on and says this. I bless his name for the thunder of his authority and for the profound conviction that he is fierce and furious. I like the way he says that. Fierce and furious in his anger against sin whenever it manifests itself. God's not a fan of sin. So God's given all these people all these opportunities. And they said no. And so God told the Jews, destroy them all. I hope you get that. Some of you, I don't think you get it when we say, break down every idol, cast down every foe, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I don't think some people get that. God is not into you sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. And by the way, I don't have to lay out a laundry list here for you, because if you have known habitual sin in your life, the Holy Spirit of God will tell you what it is. You don't need me to tell you what it is. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells me, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and he'll tell you what your sin problem is. I got to move on. If you've got known habitual sin in your life, do yourself a favor and get it out. Just get it out. You don't need it there. The fourth instruction was, don't get mad at me about that verse, take that up with God and study Deuteronomy chapter 6 and prove me wrong. All right? Fourthly, his fourth bit of instruction, which is kind of wild, in verse 24. I got to get back to Joshua chapter 6. Hang on. They burnt the city with fire. Burn the city. Man, it wasn't bad enough that all the people were dead. He even said, burn the city. Deuteronomy 4:24 tells us, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And that's also quoted in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. God is a jealous God. Moses is warning the Jewish people against idolatry and the danger of following people like those of Canaan. We studied a little bit about that this morning in Sunday school when we gave a lesson on those that do not love the Lord are not going to help you serve the Lord. And they're not. God's jealousy of His people does not permit them to divide their love and service between Him and false gods of the world. You can't serve two masters. Please understand, God hates sin. Jericho was a wicked city. Sin is the fuel for God's wrath. Did you know that Jesus compared hell to a furnace of fire in Matthew chapter 12, 13? He called it as fire that is eternal in Matthew chapter 25. John mentioned it in Revelation chapter 19 as a lake of fire. John the Baptist called it an unquenchable fire. The burning of Jericho and that of Sodom also are pictures of the judgment of God that will fall upon all of those who reject Christ. It's sad. Even after it was burned, Joshua then put a curse on it. Now let me say this and I'll be finished early today. As the conquest begins, you're not neutral. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. But you are to operate from victory, not just for victory. The strategy was the Lord's. You don't come up, you ever meet fix-it people that here's a problem and here's their solution to the problem? You know a better way to do that is here's a problem and what's God's solution to this problem? That's the better way to do that. Anyway, the strategy is the Lord. When God gives you the strategy, you overcome by faith. And we are to keep on obeying and doing right and living by faith while we are in the conflict. And after the conflict, you better give God praise and glory and thanks. And here's a warning, you better expect another battle. That's what life is all about. And we live by faith and not by sight. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If you are here this morning and you're not saved, then I said some things about the wrath of God. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you do understand that the wrath of God awaits you. And if you didn't understand that before, I hope you, and I pray that you do now. Christian, God hates sin. He hates it. I'm not saying you're going to be sinlessly perfect because you're not. But what I am saying is this. If there is known habitual sin in your life, you need to get it out. God is a jealous God. He is. Get the sin out of your life. Patiently walk in obedience to God and live for God and live by faith. And I will say this again. And when you live by biblical principles, and when you live by faith and not by sight, and when you face challenges in your life, and you say, you know what, I'm a victor, I'm not a victim. And while I'm in this challenge, I know that I can overcome by faith. And when I get after this channel, I give God all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And when I live by that, you know what? I live a victorious Christian life. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed. There's a lady here this morning I led to Christ 2 weeks ago. I actually got to give her a Bible this morning, praise the Lord. I'd like to encourage her, just keep living by faith. Just keep living by faith. Just keep growing in the Lord. Let me ask you two things. First of all, are you that person who God has given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior? And you keep saying no? This is a warning. I wouldn't keep saying no. Because eventually, maybe the Spirit of God will just say, okay, fine. So if you've never trusted Christ and the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart today, you need to come forward and let somebody take a Bible and open the Bible and show you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you are a Christian and there is known habitual sin in your life, get it right with God today. Get it right with God today. If you're going through a battle, fight from victory, not for victory. While you're in that battle, live by faith. You defeat your enemies by faith. After the victory, this too shall pass. After the victory, give God the praise and the glory and the honor. Our Father, Your word is precious. The miracle that we watch with the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River, the next miracle we see is the walls of Jericho coming down. You are an awesome God. And yet, You are a God who will not tolerate sin. Because of Your justice and because of Your holiness, You cannot. That person that is here, I don't know if it's one or two or three, I don't know. But whoever that person is that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray You'd save them today. They won't wait. They won't walk out of here unconverted to Christ. They'll come to know Jesus. And I pray You'll give them the courage to step out by faith. Christians need to get right with God. I pray they will. I pray they'd get any known habitual sin out of their life. Your Spirit would please show them what that is. And God, I pray for all of us to realize that we're not victims. We're victors. We're in battles, but we overcome our battles by faith. And after the battle, if somebody's been in one recently and they've seen You pull them out the other side, Lord, may they be careful and conscious to give You praise and thanks. We are to be as watchful after the battle as we were before the battle. So please bless now to our hearts and to the changing of our lives the preaching of Your word. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as Brother Mike sings, go ahead, Brother Mike. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you step out by right now and come down and let somebody take a Bible. You're a man, a woman, and show you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior.
So precious Thou art. Fold me, oh fold me, close to Thy breast. Shelter me safe in the haven of rest.
If you're a Christian and there is no habitual sin in your life, I don't care if you come and kneel in front of the church or right there in your pew, you confess that to God and you get it out of your life. And when you leave here, you be determined by faith and not fall back into that thing again. Whatever it is. And I honestly don't know what it is, and I don't need to know what it is.
Jesus, my King, only my sinful now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing Thy blood doth impart. Grant me the cleansing Thy blood doth impart. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be Thine. Sin with its follies I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp, and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified.
You need a new visit from God this morning. Still you need to come to visit from God. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Life don't
shall last. Till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages ever to be, nearer my Savior, still nearer to Thee. Nearer my Savior, still nearer to Thee. Nearer, still nearer, close to Thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Let me mention this to the church family. We have faith.